Canto 5, Chapter 14. The Material World as the Great Forest of Enjoyment. The wise Shukadeva said, "Those who take the body for the real self, being different with the mode of goodness and such, consider matters from the wrong perspective. Basing themselves on the six gateways of their senses and their mind, they alternatively operating favorably, unfavorably, or with a mixed approach, have to deal with a never-ending process of transmigration through different series of physical frames they time and again have to forsake and pick up again. In relation to Vishnu, the transcendental personality who is the Lord, the bound soul who, acting under the control of Maya, the illusory of matter, moves on the difficult path of the hard-to-cross forest of material existence, is engaged like a merchant who wants to make money with things desired by the people. He who engages his body for the sake of the profit experiences the material world in which he landed as a cemetery where he encounters a lot of resistance for as long as he does not succeed to progress in following the example of the bumblebees, the ones devoted to the lotus feet of the Lord and his representatives, who put an end to the trouble of reaching his jewel, his glory. In that forest, he is guaranteed faced with the six senses and the mind whom one, because of their activities, may call one's plunderers. From the wanton soul, who as someone lacking in self-control is walking the wrong path, they steal away every little bit of hard-won wealth so perfectly suited for performing sacrifices. The acquired wealth that one at home for the purpose of gratifying one's senses cherishes in one's determination to see, touch, hear, taste and smell, leads, so say the sages, only to a better life in the hereafter when one directly uses it for the religious Varnashrama practice according to the principles, a practice that is characterized by the worship of the Supreme Personality. In this respect, the members of his family, beginning with those whom he calls his wife and children, are tigers and jackals in their actions. They seize, despite his resistance against it, the wealth he miserly does not want to share, just like a lamb that before the eyes of the herdsman by predators by force is seized from the midst of the herd. Just as in a field that is ploughed every year, the seeds of the bushes, grasses and creepers that did not burn are preserved and sprout again together with the plants sown, as it happens in any other garden, so too, in the field of action of one's family life, the karmic fruitive activities do not disappear. For that reason, this world is called the storehouse of desires. Being lost in that life, on this material path of existence, sometimes wandering in the spheres of wealth, his life breath, so to say, he, the follower of falsehood, is disturbed by low-class characters who are like gadflies and mosquitoes, as also by thieves who are like rats, locusts, and birds of prey. Ignorant in his fruitive motives because of a lusty mind, he looks with a wrong vision at this human world where one never reaches one's goal. He sees castles in the air. He, who sometimes is engaged in chasing a Fata Morgana in his eagerness to drink, eat, and have sex and such, is there in that human world consequently a reprobate, someone who is a slave of his senses. Sometimes looking for gold, he, being obsessed by that particular type of yellowish rubbish, which is also an unlimited source of wickedness, is just like someone who, in the dark aching for fire, chases a phantom light. A person thus, in this material forest, at times, is fully engaged in running hither and thither for the sake of the various items of a dwelling place, water and wealth, deemed necessary for one's subsistence. Sometimes, in the dark of night, driven by a momentary whirlwind of passion, he copulates like mad in a total neglect of the rules. blinded by the strength of that passion, he, notwithstanding the divinities of the sun and the moon of regularity and order, then loses all notion, being overcome by a mind full of lust. Occasionally, he for a moment awakens to the meaninglessness of the bodily concept of his self that destroys his remembrance, and because of which he runs after matters like after the water of a mirage. Exactly like it is with the typical penetrating, repeated sounds of owls and crickets, there is sometimes the agitation caused, directly or indirectly, by enemies and state officials, who by their punitive actions trouble his ear and heart. When the conditioned soul has exhausted the merit of his good deeds in his previous life, and at that time, in need of financial support, approaches the rich with their dead souls, he himself is then just as dead within, because they are like the karaskara, kakatunda, and more of such fruitless trees. They are just like fouled wells, never capable of making one happy. Occasionally associating with insincere people of a limited understanding, it is as if he's diving in a shallow river so that he breaks his neck. Seeking the company of atheists will make him very unhappy in both respects, spiritual and physical. When he fails in acquiring the wealth of others, he next gives trouble to his father and son, even about the most insignificant that his father or son possesses. Burned by the flames of grief, he, getting most disappointed, sometimes experiences his life at home as a forest fire that brings no good but only more and more sadness. Sometimes the wealth he holds dear is plundered by a carnivorous government that grew corrupt over time, so that he, bereft of all his good life, remains like a corpse with the life air expired. Then again, thinking that his father, grandfather, and others, who deceased a long time ago, are there again for real as an incarnation, he experiences the type of happiness one feels in dreams. At other times, he, as a householder with a mind in hot pursuit of material matters, wants to climb the mountain of precepts for religious sacrifices for the sake of fruitive activities, and next he then, being frustrated about all the demands, laments like having entered a field full of thorns and sharp stones. Occasionally fasting religiously, but unable to bear the fire of hunger and thirst, he runs out of patience and gets angry with his family members. Repeatedly being devoured by the python of sleep, he, in a grip of ignorance, finding himself in deep darkness, is like a corpse that, left behind in the forest, just lies there not knowing a thing anymore. So now and then, with his teeth of honor broken by the envy of his serpent-like enemies, he suffers insomnia, and then falls into the blind well of illusion with a consciousness gradually deteriorating because of a by debilitating rumination disturbed heart. And then it happens that, searching for the sweet honey drops of desire of another man's woman or riches, he appropriates them so that he is severely chastised by the government or the relatives involved, and thus ends up in an incomparably hellish life. This now is the reason why the Vedic authority states that a fruitful activity, the karma of a living entity, constitutes the cause of both this life and the next one in the ocean of matter. If he manages to stay away from the chastising, a traitor such takes his money away, and another friend of Vishnu so, in his turn, takes it from him again. And so the riches, as a part of the Lord's opulence, then move from one hand to the other. It also happens that one, because of natural causes like heat and cold, other living beings and the operation of one's own body and mind, is unable to counter the conditions of life, so that one remains being troubled by severe anxieties and depressions. Sometimes trading with one another, about whatever little bit of money or farthing that was appropriated with cheating, however insignificant, there arises enmity because of the dishonesty. On the path of material existence, one encounters these forms of misfortune that are associated with happiness and unhappiness, attachment, hate, fear, false prestige, illusion, madness, lamentation, bewilderment, greed, envy, enmity, insult, hunger, thirst, tribulations, disease, birth, old age, death, and so on. Under the influence of the illusory energy Maya, one is sometimes being firmly embraced by the creepers of the arms of a female companion, deeply embarrassed by finding oneself at a loss, void of all intelligence and wisdom. In one's desire to please her and offer her a suitable place to live, one's heart gets engrossed in the concern, with one's consciousness being seized by the talks and nice looks offered by the sons and daughters under the loving care of one's wife. Having lost the command over oneself, one is then thrown into the endless darkness of a life ruled by ignorance. Thus it may happen that, because of the chakra of the controller, the Supreme Lord Vishnu's disk of time, the influence of which stretches from the first expansion of atoms to the duration of the complete life of Brahma, one has to suffer the symptoms of its rotating. With that rotation in the course of time, swiftly before one's eyes in terms of eternity, in a moment all lives of the living entities are spent, from Brahma to the simplest blade of grass. Directly of him, the controller whose personal weapon is the disk of time, one is afraid at heart. As a consequence, not caring about the Supreme Lord, the original person of sacrifice, one then accepts as worshipable what lacks foundation, with self-invented gods who, operating like buzzards, vultures, herons and crows, are denied by the scriptures of one's civilization. When one, as a conditioned soul by the atheists, who themselves are cheated, is cheated even more, one takes to the school of the Brahmins. But with them, because of their demands, not finding satisfaction in the good character of engaging with the sacred thread according to principle and scripture, nor in the trusted culture of the dutiful worship of the Supreme Lord and original person of sacrifice, one then turns to the association of karmis, karma-motivated people, who are not purified by behaving according to the Vedic injunctions. With them, in a materialistic sex life, maintaining the family, one finds oneself in the company of those who think they descended from monkeys instead of spiritual masters. In that condition, uninhibited, unrestricted, enjoying like the monkeys, with a serious lack of knowledge and insight, one forgets how short life is when one, staring into each other's faces and such, hankers only for gratification and material results. Sometimes, just like a monkey with its tree, eager to improve one's home, one spends time caring about and having fun with one's wife and children. Being confined to this course, one abides, out of fear for the elephant of death, by a darkness as deep as that of a mountain cave. In relation to the objects of one's senses, one is sometimes, as said, in one's inability to counteract the insurmountable miseries of the heat and cold of nature, other living beings and one's own existence, caught in sadness because of the enmity that rose about whatever little bit of wealth one in mutual transactions happened to acquire by cheating. Now and then, running out of money and bereft of the pleasure of accommodations for sleeping, sitting and eating, one has to endure the derision and such of the people that rose as a consequence of what one, having no success, has decided in one's desire to realize matters a dishonest way. Even though one, because of financially determined relations, more and more relates in enmity, one nevertheless engages in marriages that, based on this desire to advance materially, consequently end in divorces. On this path through the ocean of matter, one is plagued by the different miseries of a material existence, to which anyone himself, or anybody else for that matter, now and then thinks that he has won, and then again thinks that he has lost. There too one experiences in giving up deceased relatives and welcoming newborn babies, in one's bondage at times, a lot of sorrow, illusion and fear, to which one loudly cries, while one, at other times, is so happy that one starts to sing. Up to the present day, save for the saintly souls, no one of this entire world of self-interested human beings has ever returned to the one place of God where this material course started and of which the defenders of the peace declare that it is also the end station. These materially motivated human beings do not follow the instructions of yoga, nor do they attain this supreme abode that is easily attained by the wise, who, naturally living and abiding by peace, are in control of their mind and senses. Even when one is the saintliest of kings, victorious in all fields and expert in performing all the sacrifices, one is but an earthly human being who has to lay down his life, has to give up the fight, has to meet his demise because of the self-created enmity with others, and who has to stop thinking about things in terms of mine. Taking shelter of the creeper of karma, believing in fruitful actions, one somehow or other, living virtuously, may be freed from the misfortune of a hellish position of being entangled in the material world. But whatever the higher world one is thus promoted to, one yet again, that way treading the worldly path, enters the conflictuous field of human self-interest. There is not a single king able to follow, even in his mind, the path that we celebrated here as the way of the great soul Jada Bharata, the son of the great saintly king Rishabhadeva, any more than a fly can follow Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu. It was he who gave up the difficult to forsake wealth of a family, friends and well-wishers, and a royal realm. Fond of Uttama Shloka, the Lord praised in the verses, he, only in his prime years, renounced all that occupied his heart, like it was stool. To those whose minds are attracted by the loving service unto the killer of Madhu, Krishna, being performed by the greatest souls, everything that is so difficult to give up, the world, the children, relatives, riches and a wife, all that is desirable of the goddess of fortune, the glances of mercy of the best demigods, and even freedom from rebirth, liberation, is of no significance, and that befitted him as a king. The enjoyer of all sacrifices, the propounder of the religion, he who teaches by the regulative principles, the yoga in person, the teacher of analysis, the controller of the creation, Narayana, the shelter of all living beings, unto Lord Hari, I offer my obeisances, was what he prayed aloud with a smile, even when he resided in the body of a deer. He who listens to or describes to others this, by the great devotees highly appreciated, all auspicious narration about the wise king Bharata, so pure in his qualities and actions, will live long, be fortunate, be well thought of, reach the higher worlds, or attain beatitude, final liberation. Glorifying the character of the devotee and the Lord will bring someone all blessings possible, leaving nothing left to desire from others.